Blog Talk Radio.
Talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And of course, you will get a heavy dose of our opinion. And if you have an opinion, then number to call 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgan. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgan. And you can follow the show at Twitter. At Go For It Gant. That's Go For It Gant. And then that's at twitter.com. And also, you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com. Expected to be joined by 11-time Pro Bowler Willie Rofe. Willie's going to go over some, going to talk to Willie about some NFL headlines and get his thoughts on some things around the league. And also, we're expected to be joined by Kevin Benoit, the founder of Parlay Magazine. And Kevin's going to give us the lowdown on that magazine and tell us all the good things about it. Jeremy?
Paul?
How are you?
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, I'm living the life. I predicted that the Lakers are going to win the NBA championship. You know, I was out with my boys, and I'm so cool because I'm so Cal. You know, San Francisco World Series champs. I told you Kevin Cobb was going to have a better season than Donovan McNabb, and I think I'm 3-for-3, baby. Because when you don't know the playbook, how are you going to be successful?
Speaking of Donovan McNabb and Kevin Cobb and all those Michael Vick, the Philadelphia Eagles do play the Washington Redskins on this upcoming Monday Night Football. Michael Vick and the Eagles coming off an impressive performance as they beat the Colts 26-24. Michael Vick, a workmanlike performance and also named NFC Offensive Player of the Week, threw for 216 yards, ran for another 75, and two touchdowns, one running and one passing. Had little issues in the red zone, but all in all, Michael Vick played some good football. And this is a different team with Michael Vick in the mix. And if you look at this Philadelphia Eagle team, they had defensively, they played well in that game. They harassed Peyton Manning, and they shut down the Colts there in that second half, and they did enough to get the job done. But if you look at the NFC right now, 6-2 Atlanta, 6-3 New Orleans, 6-3 Green Bay, 6-2 Giants, and you have the Eagles there at 5-3. The NFC is so, so wide open. And you can't sit here and tell me, looking at all these teams in the NFC, the Eagles have beaten the Falcons. You have the Saints who they have not played. But, I mean, the Eagles have beaten the Falcons, who are on top of the NFC South. They gave Green Bay all they could handle in week one. And Michael Vick actually came in that game. So that wasn't a full game of Michael Vick. And they had the Giants, who are 6-2, who are playing very well. So if you look at the NFC right now, you can't tell me that any of these teams are better than the Philadelphia Eagles. You can't definitively say that. So I look at this NFC as being wide, wide, wide open.
Well, I mean, I don't disagree. I mean, I hate to break the news to you, Paul, but you might as well just play that song to reminisce because it's over. Donovan McNabb, it's a shame because actually he's been – their whole season, and what they're doing to them is wrong. But you can forget about them. I think the Giants are a joke. They have been on a little bit of a run, but I think ultimately everyone's going to really see at the end of the day. They're the same Giants that they've always been. They play somewhat well in the regular season, but they're just not going to be able to hold it up. And, I think Michael Vick, it's amazing because the problems they had in the red zone, I certainly will get into this, I'm sure, throughout the show, but I don't really think it was him as much as I definitely see the play call in the red zone was abominable. And, you know, the fact that they have really no consistent running game will hurt them with 20 yards to go 9 times out of 10. And that's been, even with the days of Donovan, that has certainly been, a problem the Eagles have to deal with.
Well, also it could be a matter of rust with Michael Vick, the guy. Hasn't played in 3 weeks, and
he didn't look rusty at all.
Could have been a matter of rust, and all in all, it was an impressive performance. And defensively, I was really impressed how they stepped up in the second half of that football game and shut the Colts down. And because the way the Colts were going in that first half, you were thinking they were going to put up a bunch of points. I mean, but the Eagles did enough defensively to shut the Colts down in that second half. And Michael Vick and the boys, they put up 26 points, and Michael Vick did what he had to do. He was impressive. He scrambled when he needed to scramble. He did all the things necessary. He did all the things necessary. So you definitely have to give him a lot of credit in that football game. But they have an interesting game coming up against the Redskins and Donovan McNabb. And if you look at that whole mess in Washington, I mean, should be an interesting game. And I thought that first game the Eagles actually should have won and would have won if Michael Vick was not hurt in that game. But that should be an interesting game, especially with all the intrigue with Donovan McNabb and whether or not he actually will start the game. More than likely, he will start the game. But there are some questions of whether or not that actually will happen. So it should be interesting to see what happens there. But, I mean, if you're Washington, your best chance to win the football game is with Donovan McNabb and not with Rex Grossman. I mean, that's pretty obvious. It doesn't take a genius to know that.
Well, I mean, but Paul, it's interesting, too, because if you're Donovan McNabb to deal with all this and have to play, certainly against the Eagles in a big divisional game, we talked about this last week. I wonder what – if I'm the Redskins coach and staff in front office, what was the goal in all this? I mean, because like this is a big divisional game for the Redskins and their season, because they would go up 2-0 against the Eagles or splitting the head to head. Will come back to bite them should they be able to continue to improve. And you have Donovan McNabb asking questions if he knows their offense. And the Eagles come off a huge victory, and when you look at where they are in comparison to where the Redskins are.
Well, you would hope that Donovan would know the playbook at this point. I mean, he was with the team in April, so he had the mini camps and all the off-season stuff to learn the playbook. But also, you look at it, I mean, it could be also a situation of a guy who's been an assistant with Andy Reid for 11 years. And, at that point, you're learning a whole new system now. And so terminologies may be different, and all these things may be different. So, I mean, it's a little different situation, especially a guy who's been in one system his whole career. But again, I mean, obviously, Donovan's been known for his hard work and known for his work ethic. So it's kind of hard to believe that overnight the guy just got sloppy with everything and just didn't work out because he had some issues with conditioning, apparently. And basically, Shanahan called him dumb and fat. Essentially, so I mean, you would think that Donovan, at this stage of his career, all the things that he's been through, all the things that he's done, would be a little more than just dumb and fat.
Do you think that what they're Shanahan is trying to make, I guess, be put out in the media? Do you think this is real, that Donovan has fallen this far this fast?
Well, I mean. No, I don't think it's real. It's kind of hard for me to believe that it's real. But you just never know. But it's kind of hard for me to believe that this guy has fallen that fast so soon. I mean, he hasn't played well. There's no getting around that. Donovan's looked awful, to be honest with you. He hasn't played well. And looking what's around him, he doesn't have a lot of options there. But all in all, he still has not played well.
Paul, you and I, we've had our fun. I mean, you have been a dominant Donovan supporter, and we've always kind of joked, and I have really tried to say I think the Eagles made a mistake in the handling of Donovan, but you know, I'm confused by all this.
You're confused, and I guess a lot of others are confused. But we're now being joined by 11-time Pro Bowl offensive tackle Willie Roaf. Willie, how are you?
How you doing? I'm talking about Donovan, and I just think I think Donovan took a lot of wear and tear in Philly, and you know, he was injured the last couple of years, guys. I mean, Donovan had a lot of injuries. He was bouncing back from, and you know, I just think he's taking a toll on his body. I don't know what type of off-season training guy Donovan is. I heard Michael Vick say some great things about how Vick was working hard with him and pushing him in the off-season when he first got to Philly. So, you know, I just think he's got some wear and tear on that body.
But, you know, when
speaking of Donovan, Willie, you played in the league for many years. Have you ever seen what happened to Donovan against the Lions where he was benched for the final draft? Have you ever seen that in an NFL game?
Well, no, I wouldn't think that a coach would even do that to a quarterback of that caliber, you know, especially in that situation when they need that game to win. You know, I mean,
right.
That game was on the line.
Well, Willie, like the one thing that I keep saying, I said to Paul all preseason, I felt that Donovan this year was going to be rough because I think the supporting cast around him is one of probably the worst he's had in his career, and I don't disagree with you. This is the ending, you know, chapters of Donovan's career, not the beginning, where when he was with Philadelphia and had Todd Pinkston, you know, he could make a play, whereas now I think he's certainly relying on the players around him, and he can make other players look good. But who's
well,
good
just,
in that offense?
I wanted to see Donovan ended on a good note, and I thought with the system that he was going to have with Shanahan and the guys they were bringing in, I thought that Donovan would be having a successful year, but I just think it's been tough for Donovan to make it through a season the last couple of years, and you need two good quarterbacks. I mean, look at Philly. I mean, they go from Cobb, plays great a couple of weeks now, Dick plays excellent and beats plays Manning. I mean, what's the other team that's been using two quarterbacks this year, and they play well? I mean, you need, unless you've got Peyton Manning or Drew Brees or Tom Brady, you know, you need, most of these teams that are going to have a chance to play out need two quarterbacks.
You need two quarterbacks in this league to be successful, but you look at the fact
that it doesn't matter. I mean, in their offense, so you know, I think this too lends a lot of credence to what Willie is saying. Donovan's 22 sacks is second to Jay Cutler's, and when you look at the year that Jay Cutler's having and the year that Donovan McNabb's having, Jay Cutler throws his 9 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Donovan's 7 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Both players are playing far less than probably their capabilities because they're literally, every time they get back into that pocket, it's just sheer seconds until somebody else is going to be slamming into them. And their percentage completion is just about the same, 60, you know, for Cutler, 57 for McNabb. And that's what I said last week, Paul. I think what is going on in Washington, it's all, like they might as well cut him because they're like and try to see if there's young talent there. It's a waste of a talented player.
Are they running the ball consistently? Are they running the ball well? I mean, hey, think about it. Their line looks out of shape. I mean, the big tackle they drafted has been out of shape. I mean, you got my Jamal Brown who coming off the hip pieces with the Saints. I mean, it's not like the line's been playing great up there either now. Great offensive line.
But my problem is all off season they never attacked Donovan. Meaning Shanahan never attacked Donovan the way he attacked Haynesworth for not passing that conditioning test. I just feel like it's almost hard for me to believe that this is a Donovan McNabb that is this out of shape, yet all offseason we never heard about this. Donovan was the choir boy, if you will, you know, for Mike Shanahan.
Well, we had a problem. And then you know what happened? Donovan started backing Haysworth, and I think that upset Shanahan because Donovan was talking about how they needed Haysworth on their team and stuff. And I think that Donovan has been an outstanding football player in this league. But I think sometimes Donovan's going to side with some players that maybe the coaches and management don't want to side with. And I think, you know, that can be the price of which management, if they're trying to talk bad about Haysworth, and you got the quarterback that faces the franchise backing the guy, saying how much you need him on the team, well, you know, I mean, he's got to spend his loyalty in the locker room to his teammate.
And really quick question concerning that. I mean, if you look at the situation, Mike Shanahan, in a lot of ways, disrespected a veteran and Albert Haynesworth, forcing him to pass the conditioning drills. And in some respect, he disrespected another veteran and Donovan McNabb by pulling him in that last drive. If you look at it, do you think some of the players or the team are starting to look at this?
Well, I mean, this goes back to Shanahan. You know, with the big beat tackle he had in Denver, I mean, when I played for the Chiefs, Shanahan would always get it better than even if he signed him and get into with some of the veteran players. You know, I think it's about him. I think he was trying to get Donovan's attention, too. I think he was trying to tell Donovan, look, man, we got 8 games left or whatever, we got a bye week. I need you to be in the best shape you're going to be in the last half of the season. And I think he's just trying to get his attention, and he's going to use Donovan in a way to motivate the rest of the team. And I think that's his way of motivating the team to come back after the bye week and play better. But I think it starts up front. That offensive line has not performed because of injuries and other reasons up to the way they should have performed this year.
Right. You're right.
Look at Andre Smith. I mean, he goes in and out the game. I went to a game, he sees in and out the lineup. He's out of shape. It's the middle of the season. He still looks like he's not in any type of football shape. I mean, it's embarrassing. These guys now, you know, they get all this money, you know, and these guys, you know, they got these guaranteed deals, and they know that the teams can't mess with them for 4 or 5 years. And I bet you this, Paul, both of you, that on the contract year, that's when these guys are getting in shape and they want to play good football because it's the contract year. But these guys, man, aren't even in shape, these offensive lines.
Well, I mean, I can't say. I definitely think the one big thing, this year, I think to me, I look at and I see as a big problem for the NFL, and you just talked about those contract years, and that does relate to the fact that a lot of these veterans and all the rule changes that happen day in and it seems like day out, it doesn't really seem there's a lot of solid ground for veterans these days with injuries, you know, and the younger players and the cap and next year being a big year for the NFL. And I think a lot of people are Donovan too. I mean, he got a pretty big payday to go to Washington, and you know, he's not in a bad situation right now.
Oh, so Donovan's locked in for a couple of years. They can't release him, is what you're saying.
Well, I mean, this
is his contract year.
Well, it's not. No.
What's his base this year?
No, Paul, this is not his contract year. I mean, if you
yeah,
they
this,
can pick
this
up
Donovan's last year.
They have an option for next year.
Well, yeah, exactly. They're positioning themselves to make him take a pay cut next year. If Donovan wants to go back the way he's playing next year, he's not going to make over $10 million a year. He's not going to do like Brett Favre did. Brett Favre had a monster for a couple of years, and this year he's stealing the check on the way out, but he played great last year. They're not going to let Donovan Knapp do what Brett Favre did last year.
Right.
Basically.
They're holding him accountable this year,
and they're not going to pay him over $10 million next year.
And the way he's playing, rightfully so. Well, these past few weeks, the NFL's been cracking down on defenders, leading with their helmets. This past week, you saw a few questionable personal foul calls. You look at this whole situation, what are your thoughts on this crackdown?
Well, I agree with some of the crackdown. I think they have to get addressed it. But I think this starts with all the OTAs and all the practices and stuff. And they're not teaching. They need to teach fundamental football. These guys are leading
right.
with the helmet and not wrapping up and tackling anymore because they're not being taught that they're training camp stuff. They need to go back to fundamental football and work on this stuff as camp. The problem is when it gets in the season, these, you know, they're just making it do camp and they're not, you know, they're just making it do the season and they don't have time to work on a bunch of the fundamentals anymore. And like you said, these guys are leading with the helmet every time. Either that, somebody's going to get hurt. Or they're going to hurt somebody, you know, because they're leading with their
right.
head all the time. Like you said, they're leading with their head on these plays.
Now, I mean, a lot of times you're asking guys to make a split-second decision in a lot of ways, okay? Make sure you lead with the shoulder. I mean, is it going to take some time for this really to sink in with the players, or, in your opinion, has it sunk in with the players?
Well, I mean, I just think you got to lead with your body and wrap up. I mean, I understand sometimes you're out of position and you have to, but I'm talking about form tackling, wrapping your arms around somebody, you know, putting your helmet in his chest or to the side. But, you know, I mean, how often do you see somebody wrapping somebody up unless he's running by him when the guy's coming at an angle in front of him? They're not coming to wrap. They're coming to lead. They're coming to spin guys. You know what I mean?
Right.
It goes back to teaching some fundamentals. Now, the week after they started that fine stuff, I mean, the next week, you didn't have any of that stuff. And, like, last week, you went back to some of that sparing again.
Right.
If somebody's going to get hurt.
I guess the problem with a lot of people is that you're running into situations where guys are leading with shoulders and there's problems of whether or not a receiver is considered defenseless, even when he has the ball in his hands.
Well, you know, some plays when you got a DB coming up, you know, to wrap up a receiver, you know, if you're in an awkward position, I mean, you still got to try to not lead with your head. I mean, you gotta come up and wrap up. I mean, if you're diving in, the guy that's running down the field and you're laying out to try to tackle him, that's different. But if the guy's in front of you, there's other ways to try to lead other than leading with your helmet.
And that's true. I mean, ultimately the league, I mean, they have to do something. They definitely have to do something, and I guess it's going to be up to the players to essentially adjust.
I mean, if you got a guy in a defensive position, that's not fair to the guy in the defensive position, you know, that's going up for the ball or whatever, when this guy's coming in, you know, head first. I mean, that's not really fair to the guy because he doesn't know what's coming at him.
Right.
I mean, but I don't think. What about the? Did y'all think the guy, the hit on the guy for Indianapolis? Did y'all? I didn't think that was a dirty shot.
This is going to be the new, you know, crisis, if you will, in the NFL, and that's the shock value hit, where that was a very clean hit. It was on a bang-bang play, but the player does get injured, and, I mean, there's a penalty on the play. The whole play was totally wrong and certainly was a big injury, but it was botched from the start because now the officials are being told by the NFL, you have to change the way you call a game, and it will matter down the stretch. It could cost teams games. Well, they scored a touchdown, too, if you remember on that drive, and kudos to Peyton Manning, who certainly recognizes after a 20-plus minute delay and a player who walks off on a stretcher, first play out of scrimmage, right down the field, over the middle, and it was like a 30-yard gain.
Well, it did change the momentum of the game to a certain point, but you know, the Eagles played so good and Michael Vick played so good, well, it didn't really matter.
Right. And looking at this whole situation, like you said, ultimately players will have to adjust. And you're a guy who played many years in the league. Did you have any issues with concussions?
One time, I remember my last year, Lieber is most linebackers aren't as tall as me. But I remember my last year,
right.
You know, sometimes, we would bang heads a little bit, but most times with offensive line, you're leading with your hands instead of your head. But I remember my last year, I ran into Lieber, the linebacker with Minnesota now, when he was with, I was pulling out there to block him on the play up in San Diego, and he headbutted me. And I did have a concussion that last year, and it was like a dull headache. But I played the rest of the game, and, you know, I don't think it was a high concussion, but I remember having a headache that Monday and Tuesday. I had a headache. But he's about 6'5", so, you know, he was standing basically, you know, almost eye to eye with me.
Right.
You know, so most of the time I'm blocking a smaller defender. You know, the only time I'm gonna have a concussion is if I'm going to block a guy off, and sometimes you get kneed in the head, or if you
right.
you know run blocking and you lead with your head. I mean, you might, you know, but I mean nothing to the impact of a guy running dead on at you at a high speed and you don't even see a guy coming. No, not like that.
Now, Willie, a few weeks ago we talked about the Randy Moss trade and Moss being eventually traded to the Minnesota Vikings. 2 weeks ago, Moss was waived by the Vikings, and now he's picked up by the Titans. After the game against the Patriots, Randy Moss openly criticized the coach staff, and apparently he was upset by some of the catered food that was given to the team the Friday before the Patriots game. What do you make of the whole Randy Moss situation?
Well, you can't do that. You can't, you know, those caterers are coming over there bringing that free food, and I understand. If you didn't want to eat the food, then don't eat it. You know, but it's a fine afternoon. You don't call the people out and tell them you wouldn't get the food to your dog. You know, you can't do that.
Well, but what, I mean,
and then you get on there and talk about your own coach and praise Belichick. I mean, basically, he put the coach in a no-win situation where, I mean, enough is enough. And then he went out there, they were double-teaming him, but he wasn't doing anything on the football field. So that adds
right.
injury to insult. Like I said, as long as you're producing on the football field, Randy Moss has been getting away with stuff for a long time. But as long as he was catching 15, 18 touchdowns and 1,000-yard receiver, you know, they're going to let him get away with it. Well, now Randy Moss is a 13-year vet, and he's not producing like that anymore.
I don't disagree he's not producing. I think that's a valid point. I mean, I got to say this, though. In regards to the caterer, I think that was a low blow because I'm sure, Willie, you've been around enough of these lunches and caterers that there's been quite a few jokes, in the locker room laid at the feet of a poor, you know, meal, free or not free. It's probably all good fun, and it may have been taken out of context. But what he said in the press conference was a direct reaction to what you're seeing by basically an entire organization who's really tired of this coach. I think, you know, the fact that he probably is trying to acclimate himself into this offense in a short week, you know, in an unexpected trade, and you got a guy, you know, in Childress who can't get along with anybody, it seems like.
Well, yeah, I think Childress, I mean, you know, Brett Favre has been running that football team since he got up there, okay? And Brett Favre has been, you know, undermining or talking about his plays and all this stuff. And, you know, they let Brett in, openly doing stuff, you know, just going on a rant. But everybody knows Brett's questioned the coach and, you know, and done things like that. So, you know, I just think Randy Moss, you know, went about it the way he forced himself in a way that, you know, it wasn't going to be right. And I feel, you know, like I talked to somebody the other day, and they just said people like him, and even with T.O. earlier, you know, last year, you know, they just aren't getting right guidance. You know, these guys haven't had a father figure part in their life and haven't had the right role models around, and they've been getting away with stuff and doing this stuff for a long time. And it's just sad to see such outstanding athletes that just don't know how to handle themselves, you know, just can't help themselves with some of the comments they say. I mean, you would think after 13 years, the guy would know how to conduct himself.
And you've been talking about this a lot on this show in the past. He's in a contract gear. He's in a contract gear.
Well,
so you think
the
guy was shut up during a contract gear?
But, Paul, this is where I think, and you know that, that's not fair for Randy because, you know, he certainly, especially in in New England. He wanted another contract. If you really look at his small body of work for what he did with Minnesota was astounding. I mean, in three games, he caught two touchdown passes, Paul. So when you really, I mean, I don't know. I think he's got a bad rap. I'm going to be very interested to see what he can do with Vince Young and Chris Johnson.
But,
I mean,
and I'm going to tell you what. And another thing, if you can't get along with Fisher, you know, who's one of the, boy, the most player-oriented coaches there is, then, you know, like you said, you can't get along in that system. But, I mean, he's in a perfect situation, like you said, with Chris Johnson, with that good young line, with Vince Young, you know, I mean, with a good team, 5-3 team, are they top in the AFC? Aren't they top in the division?
Yeah, I mean,
the Titans are top of their division at 5-3.
They're top of their division, exactly. So it's no more excuses now for him not to perform.
So, Willie, it seems like you. I mean, because you and Paul seem to be these ultra conservative guys. Your dog. It seems like your dog and Randy. You seem very disappointed in the way that Randy Moss handled himself in Minnesota. Am I reading that right?
I'm disappointed with the way he's acting and conducting himself. First of all, because you have young receivers that are watching him act like this or hear stories about him acting like this in the NFL. And also, the receivers are already known as a diva position. And, you know, I mean, the guy's on a contract year. And, I mean, we've seen him do this before. And like you said, he's been a model citizen since he's been in New England. And then the years on the contract year, it's like he's acting like a spoiled kid. Just not getting his way, and he's just going to act up until he does get his way. And you can't do that in the NFL.
You
right.
know, I don't – I guess maybe I have a little bit more sensitivity for some of the players that are – a guy like Randy Moss and a guy like Donovan McNabb that really go out there week in and week out and prove their worth in a contract year to not – have the respect, for example, of New England, where he plays extremely well for them. I wonder sometimes what it does to them, Willie. You know, like, it must make Randy Moss feel, this is a guy that's going to be a guaranteed first-ballot Hall of Famer, and he can't get a contract extension. But Matthew Stafford walks into the league with a guaranteed $50 million in his pocket.
But it's been like that. It's been like that since I came in the league in '93 when we got that agreement, and we were getting when we came in making top picks, making $1 million or whatever a year, and the top athletes were making at that point. I mean, that's just the way it is, and I understand your point. But I mean, if he wants to get a new contract, obviously he was doing some stuff in New England for them to let him go. You have to conduct yourself in the right way to deserve a contract, and the way he was conducting himself off the field. I mean, he's working for, think about it, it's like you're working for a $1 billion company. I mean, there's a way you have to conduct yourself when you work for a company that's generating
right.
that kind of money. And he's
I don't disagree with the company. I'll tell you what, Willie, and you have to really look at what the Patriots selected Randy Moss this year no differently than they selected Richard Seymour last year. And I think sometimes these players, Seymour did not report to the Raiders last year. I mean, he was taken aback. I think Randy was hurt to go to be traded that unexpectedly, even though it was to the Vikings, where maybe it was a little different situation for him. I think it hurts these players to be traded, like that. Your point is very well taken. There does need to be a reconciliation for all professional athletes to get off the soapbox of, you know, that they're great, holier than thou. Because they're holier than everyone else other than the guy that stands in front of them, and that's the league.
You're right. And to add to your point, he went to a divisive locker room with a lot of issues when he got to Minnesota, and he went from New England, who you know, that we already said that's pretty much a dictatorship where Tom Brady is king and keeps everything's on an even keel. You got some veteran teams. To the Minnesota Vikings, they have all kind of issues going on in that locker room. And I mean, that's a tough situation to go from a top team to going to a team that's in disarray and trying to figure out what they're going to do the next week.
And at the end of the day,
starting with whether their quarterback's going to be able to finish the game or not.
Right.
Well, yeah, I mean,
but at the end of the day, it all comes down to you're in a contract year. Like Willie said, you're in a multi-billion dollar business. You got to know how to conduct yourself. If you don't, you're going to go through some situations. You're going to be traded. You're going to be waived. Those are the things that you know going into the situation.
So Willie,
you're in a contract year.
But, Paul, I want to hear this from Willie. And I mean, like, this is one thing that's always bothered me and plagued me about all professional sports. So you come into the league, you are first round draft pick, and you remember, you know, in your career. Does the league or do teams, did New Orleans or the Kansas City, were you sat down and were you pretty much told when you were a rookie or at any point in your career by the organization that you are literally just a piece of meat and you better play by the rules? Or is it up to each player to really start to do their due diligence and understand that they can have, like you, a Hall of Fame career, be an incredibly, you know, talented athlete, go to Pro Bowls, but you have to play by the rules in order to succeed long term?
Well, I would say this. When I got drafted by New Orleans in 93, different organization, Kansas City, New Orleans kind of like New England Patriots. It was basically, you know, management is management, players are players. We're going to keep you on your toes. You come in here and work every day and do a good job and come and take care of your business and you keep a job, okay? In Kansas City with Dick Vermeil and with Carl Peterson in there, it was more you could go up there and talk to management. There were lines of communications through Lamont Winston and Billy Long, the strength coach, where he was with Griffiths with the head coach. Whereas we needed to voice up, we could voice it more. But with New Orleans Saints, no. Management is management. You come in, work hard, we'll give you a contract. If you perform at a certain level and you go home. In Kansas City, it was more you guys can hang around, stay in the locker room, you know, go on the jacuzzi, watch extra film. You know, if you want to talk to us, you can talk to us. It was more of an open line of communication. So different organizations do it different ways. After you get to be a veteran player and you've been in the league and you get over 30, then you already know that it's a year-to-year deal based on injury and performance, you know, and you know that you have to perform at a high level to get that big contract for the next year. They're not going to give Randy Moss a 3 or 4 year deal. He's going to get a 1 year deal with a 1 year option. I mean, that's going to be pretty much it until he finishes now.
We're talking to Willie Rofe, 11-time Pro Bowler, offensive tackle. Now, Willie, we look at the NFC now. It's pretty wide open. You have the Giants who are playing well at 6-2. The Eagles right behind them at 5-3. Then you got the Packers and Falcons who are also on the top of their respective divisions. At the midpoint now, Willie,
you got
the best team in the NFC. And the Saints,
well,
I'm sorry, the 6-3 Saints.
I still, the Saints beat the Steelers. I mean, you know, if I had to say, the Falcons are good, the Giants are good. Hey, somebody still got to knock the Saints off. I mean, they're playing better football right now. Now, you know, they've had some bumps in the road, but the Giants had some bumps in the road early in the year. I'd have to say right now it'd be the Giants and the Falcons playing the best football. But the Falcons give up a lot of points too. So, you know, I like the Giants. I like the way the Giants have been playing lately, and I do like the Eagles also.
And real quick now, Willie, in the AFC, equally wide open. I mean, you got the Jets and Patriots at 6-2 in the AFC East. You got the Ravens and Steelers at 6-2 in the AFC North. And then you have the Titans, the Colts, and the Chiefs at 5-3. If you look at the AFC, and it's wide open, and that's a lot of good teams there. Who is the best team in the AFC?
There's a lot of parity in the league right now. I'll have to say the Jets in Baltimore are the best teams in AFC.
Wow. Okay. And that's fair enough.
I still like the Jets, and I like Baltimore. And I know
right.
I took the Texans and the Saints, but, you know, we'll have to see. But I like the Jets, and I like Baltimore.
Well, the season still has to play out, so your picks are still in play. But they're not looking good.
Well, the Saints are. I picked the Saints and the Texans.
Well, Willie, in your defense, it's looking no better than the fact that Paul you know, Paul picked Donovan McNabb to have a good year this year. So neither are your picks, Paul.
What did I tell you guys earlier? I said I think Donovan McNabb is going to have a good year if he can stay healthy. And McNabb has had some issues with his health this year, and I think that's what we're not seeing. We don't see what's happening every day when they go on the practice field and whether Donovan McNabb is moving around good. I mean, if Donovan McNabb can't practice all week or is barely getting around in practice and is going out and playing on Sunday, and then he's thinking about how his body's going to feel, well, we don't see that. So I think it's more going on with Donovan McNabb than just performing on the field. I think he's having issues with his body.
And there may be some point to that because Shanahan did talk about his hamstring situation, and that was, I guess, out of you don't know what to believe when it comes to Shanahan, this whole situation. But I guess that's one of the reasons he set him down as well. But, again, it was a whole bunch of excuses that Shanahan gave, so you don't know. And then, real quickly, Willie.
Yep.
The Cowboys made some headlines this week. They were routed by the Packers, 41-7, and the team decided to fire Wade Phillips mid-year. At this point, they really didn't have a choice, really.
Well, I mean, they could have finished out the year, but I'm pretty sure Wade Phillips wanted to get the hell out of there anyway. I mean, you know, the team's not responding to him, and his defense isn't playing. And Wade Phillips, even when that team was struggling the last couple of years, remember when he let Brian go, the D coordinator, go a couple of years
right.
ago, and he took on the defense, at least the defense would respond. Well, hell, the defense isn't showing up. And anytime you have a quarterback from another team, Garrard up there a couple of weeks ago, saying the team didn't play and didn't show up, and telling them, you know, that they weren't even playing hard, I mean, at home, I mean, you know, I mean, Wade Phillips has a lot of pride, too. He's a coach, but he has a lot of pride, too. And when the team starts not performing to you, then, you know, I mean, it's time for them to make a change.
And the change that they did make a big change, and Wade Phillips is now out of a job. Willie, we thank you for stopping by, sir. It was greatly appreciated. We always enjoy your insight. And as the season progresses, we definitely have to have you back.
All right, thanks again. It's been a lot of fun.
All right, take care. Willie Rofe, 11-time Pro Bowler, offensive tackle. It's good to get Willie's insight on this NFL season. The numbers to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgant. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgant. And you can send email messages to the show at goforward.gant@gmail.com. That's goforward.gant@gmail.com. Definitely good to get Willie's insight there. And we're expected to be joined by Kevin Benoit, founder of Parlay Magazine. And Kevin's joining us right now. Kevin, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How you doing, man?
Doing well. Now, Kevin, you're 23 years old, and a lot of hard work coming from you. Along with your co-founder, Whitney Gardner, you guys put together Parlay Magazine. And one of your slogans is, "Not your average." Explain that slogan.
Okay. Well, let me just clear up one thing. Parlay, the magazine was founded by me. Whitney, she's a partner on a docuseries that we're doing.
Okay.
As far as the slogan, "Not your average," but it's just I personally feel like people in general, they just try to stick to what they know and the things that they find the easiest. I try to, you know, be as diverse as possible, continue to do things that people don't expect me to do. And that's probably why I started the magazine when I was 17. And just continue to do things that people, if someone says you can't do it, then I'm trying to do it. You know, if people are scared
right.
to do it, then I'm trying to do that too. So that's really what that is.
And you started this thing at the age of 17. I mean, that takes a lot of drive and a lot of dedication and a lot of determination. I mean, how did you make that happen for yourself?
I just, Well, I graduated high school at 16, which was another one of those things that he was saying I couldn't do. I graduated high school in 3 years, but I was writing at the time. And when I got to college, I wanted to continue doing it. And I just really, I used my financial aid money because I was getting financial aid at the time. So I used that, those funds to put into this publication and just basically learned as I went along. So it was a learning process, and it's still a learning process. And, yeah, you know, I'm just trying every day to keep staying strong at it.
Now, for those who have not read this magazine, tell them what they can expect.
Well, that's the reason why it's not your average, because it's the magazine, and everything I do is just everything that you wouldn't necessarily expect combined into one, plus the things you do expect. So, you know, it's the best in urban entertainment. It's an urban entertainment magazine. So everything from books, movies, TV, film, everything. A lot of artists, mostly, I want to say mostly music, definitely a lot of music, the best in hip-hop, R&B mostly. And then we do sports too. I was actually listening for the first 15 minutes or so. I heard all the sports talk. I didn't hear my Eagles in the top. I know he mentioned them, but it wasn't.
Speaking of the Eagles, I mean, you are definitely surrounded by two Eagles fans. Myself and the co-host Jeremy Espy, we're big time Eagles fans. So you're definitely in good company here. And
I heard
speaking of the Eagles,
and all types of other predictions. I ain't had the Eagles making it to the Super Bowl.
Well, you got to understand, that's Willie Rolfe. He played for the Saints for many years. So,
well, and you also got to understand, this year, if you listen to the first 50 minutes, one of the co-hosts, maybe the one that is speaking now, was diehard Eagles. You know, he went with Kevin Cobb, and the other guy who was doing a lot of the talking earlier, you know, he went down to D.C. for a little bit, so... So it's hard for us sometimes here because, yes, we're from Philadelphia. We're born and raised in Philadelphia. We're supposed to stay in Philadelphia. But sometimes, you know, Kevin, we venture off, and I'm sure maybe your magazine can do a feature on, you know, people that are lost souls, you know.
I can definitely – I can work on that for you guys.
but in all seriousness, Paul, we were certainly doing research for the show. I think it's interesting with your, and we'll certainly get into your websites and the fact that I'd like to hear from you the way, certainly growing up in an era where being able to be on Facebook, being able to be on Twitter, being able to have the ability to have a very broad spectrum to get your message out, in a way, I think for a younger generation, it can make you extremely competitive and allow you much more audience if you're certainly willing, you know, to put the time in and build the Facebook page and to keep up with Twitter.
Most definitely. I'm on there every day. The only problem is it takes so much time. You know, I'm spending hours just on Facebook promoting or on Twitter promoting. So it does take a lot of time. It helps with the competitive advantage. But then you got to realize that everybody's doing this. So it helps, it hurts, and it's time-consuming. But it's all part of the grind, really.
And Kevin, over the past 6 years, Parlay Magazine has been around for 6 years. You have had some great interviews, guys like Lil Wayne, New Edition, and more. Looking back over those past 6 years, what was your favorite feature? And that might be a tough question to answer, but what was your favorite feature?
Wow, that is a tough one. I know it has to be a music executive. The artists are great. You know, they all have a lot of things to say, a lot of great things to say. And sometimes you find that they're a lot, I don't want to say smarter, but a lot more savvy than their music portrays them to be. But the executives, you know, it's always great hearing somebody behind the scenes and how they got to where they are. I know, you know, I'm an executive too, but seeing other, you know, African Americans and minorities doing big things, that always inspires me. Trying to think of one off the top. I can't. I've done a lot, though.
And that's very impressive, especially for your age. And I definitely have to point out, you're only 23 years old, and you're doing big things right now. Now, Kevin, you guys do have a documentary out chronicling your journey. You're trying to get, or you did get your master's degree, taking seven classes a semester. Tell us about
that. The docuseries, I'm actually still doing my master's now. I'm in my second of three, and it's a year-long master's program to get the master's degree in media management. And like I said, I'm still growing every day, still a hustle. And I actually went to undergrad for legal studies. And part of my, not say struggle, but part of the journey up to this point has been the fact that I didn't study journalism. I didn't do journalism in school. It was really just something that I enjoyed doing. And I thought I could do on a bigger level. So I decided to go back to school for it to see if, I can learn some things that I haven't picked up on my own up to this point. And we started the docuseries. Me and another student, Whitney Gardner, she's trying to start her record label and get that off the ground, trying to be one of the first female executives in the music industry. And, I was actually just sitting in the back of the class. To this day, I've always sat in the back of the class. And I'm sitting in the back of class. There were seven other students, all minorities, all different ages. And I thought that it would be a great idea to just chronicle, all of us going back to school and trying to do positive things. It only came down to me and Whitney. The other people didn't want to be on YouTube and have that have the attention on them. But it's the both of us. We're still trying to get out there and do big things. And it's just chronicling our way to this master's degree, which is about halfway done now, and all the things that we're dealing with outside of it, because school is only a couple of days out the week for us.
Now, you're taking seven classes a semester?
Yep, seven classes.
Am I reading that right, seven classes a semester?
Definitely seven classes, and it's only three days a week.
Where do you find the time? Where's the time? How do you make time to do this? I mean, you got the magazine, you have your other endeavors. How does Kevin Benoit find the time to do these classes and do all the other things?
Very little sleep. Very little sleep.
Okay.
I gotta work, man. Like every executive I've spoken to, has told me that you gotta dedicate a lot of hours to it. You can't really sleep, And while other people are sleeping and getting that rest, or partying on weekends, you have to be doing things to get you ahead. So Thursdays, Friday nights, I'm in class. Saturday mornings, I'm in class. So no clubbing, no vacations. But educate myself and trying to get myself out there. And Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, on my parlay, grind, Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff.
So, you're like I said before, you're only 23 years old, and you're grinding like this. I mean, you're, like you said, just seven classes. You're not sleeping. I mean, is this a tough life?
It's the easiest life possible. I'm not going to lie. Again, every executive has told me, if you love it, you're going to enjoy it. You won't have a problem doing it. And that's really what it is for me, even though, I may not. I'm still partying. Don't get me wrong. I might just have to party on a Wednesday. It's the entertainment industry. I call in and talk about football with you guys. I'm at a listening session tomorrow, listening to albums. So it's not a tough life at all. The toughest part is really just trying to get the business side down and trying to get to the point where I can get a staff to do a lot of the grinding. So.
Right.
But it's fun. I'm enjoying it.
So you got to work like, I guess it comes down to working like a slave to ultimately becoming a master.
Close. I'm not going to say working like a slave because I work for myself. So. Right. But definitely close.
But you know, and that's, it's interesting at 23, Paul. I find myself listening. I think to be as young as you are, and to have the vision to recognize that you're certainly going to be working. But I keep hearing you say the same thing, which is you're working for yourself, which is a deviation from a lot of people in not just your generation. You know, Paul and I are 10 years older, being 33 years old. It's a deviation. It takes a strong man to recognize that they'd rather do things on their own and stand on their own 2 feet, you know, rather than depend on others, a la an employer, to do things for them.
Basically, I've never been able to work for somebody else. I tried. The closest thing was summer youth employment back in the day when I was 16, 17. 16. I've just always known that I wanted to be a businessman. And even when I was going to school for legal studies, the goal was to have the law firm of Kevin Benoit. So, and I try to tell people all the time, you know, this is the way to go, but it is, I know it's hard. I know a lot of people aren't necessarily ready to jump into something like this, but I know for me it's the best thing, and it's the only thing that'll make me happy. If I was working 40 hours at a job, you know, and that's where the slave ship comes in. You know, you're working 40 hours a week, but, you know, are you getting a positive return on that 40, 45 hours a week?
Right.
So
we're talking to Kevin Benoit, founder of Parlay Magazine. Now, Kevin, tell our listeners where we can find Parlay Magazine and where we can see any of the upcoming features in the magazine.
The print magazine is distributed for free in New York City. People who are outside the city can always subscribe. We distribute all over the country. The website is www.parlaymagazine.com. ParlayMagazine.com. The subscriptions are right on the top right-hand corner. Can't miss it. That's the website. Twitter is /ParlayMagazine. And Facebook is actually Parlay Newspaper, because we were a newspaper before we were a magazine.
Okay. And real quickly, Kevin, I know you're a big-time Knicks fan. This offseason,
yes, sir.
You guys added Amari Stoudemire. Knicks haven't looked great in this upcoming season so far, struggling a little bit, but I would expect it. I mean, right now they are 3-4. They've lost two in a row.
They lost tonight, too. I'm disappointed. I personally, I'm not happy with a lot of things. I was talking about the starting lineup the other day. I'm not sure why some of the guys are starting when there's obviously better players on the bench. I know they're trying to make Chandler a sixth man or something like that, but
right.
if you don't have a great five, then it doesn't matter who your sixth man is. And I really just feel like we're still missing a few pieces. I know we want to get Melo, and they need to hurry up and make that happen if they want to have a successful season. Besides that, we might make the playoffs just because there's not too many great teams, but we lost to Philadelphia and Golden State now, so it's not looking good. It's been a hard last 4 or 5 years.
Right. Yeah, I can imagine. It has to be very hard. Kevin, we thank you for stopping by, sir. I mean, we definitely wish you nothing but success in your endeavors. I mean, you sound like a hardworking young man. You have a goal. You have a dream. You have a vision. And we definitely wish you nothing but success in that.
Thanks a lot, fellas. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. Have a good night.
All right. Kevin Benoit, founder, owner, Parlay Magazine. The guy definitely is a hustler. He's definitely working hard to get that situation to where he wants it. So definitely we wish him nothing but success in whatever he does with that magazine, definitely. We want to thank Willie Rowe for stopping by, 11-time Pro Bowler. Willie talks some NFL, and it was definitely a good time talking with Willie. It's always a good time. talking to the great Willie Rowe. And also, we want to thank Kevin Benoit, founder of Parlay Magazine. Make sure you check him out on Twitter and Facebook. And definitely a good magazine, definitely an interesting magazine. It's something that you definitely want to look into. You can listen to this show and other shows at blogtalkradio.com/pGann. For Jeremy Espy, this is Paul Gann. See you later.